This podcast is produced by the Center for Deployment Psychology at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences. The views expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Uniformed Services University, the Department of Defense, or the U.S. government. In addition, references to any specific companies, products, processes, or services does not necessarily constitute or imply endorsement by the Uniformed Services University, the Department of Defense, or the U.S. government.
Hey, listeners, we're trying something new this year. Come join us live on Tuesday, August 13th from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. We will take questions and stories from you, our listeners.
Maybe you have a question for one of our previous guests or even about the episode you're listening to today. Do you have a question for us or a great what is your why story? Either way, we want to hear it.
So call in and we'll address your questions and we'll include them in our final episode of the season. And if you can't call on August 13th, automated operators are standing by right now. Send us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe or an email, and all of our contact info will be below.
Can't wait to hear from you.
Welcome to CDP's podcast, Practical for Your Practice,
where we give you actionable intel to support what you do, one colleague to another.
Hello and welcome everybody to CDP's Practical for Your Practice podcast. I'm Corinne Lefkowitz. I'm here with my friend Jenna Ermold. How are you, Jenna?
You know, any day I get to sit and talk with you, Corinne, is a good day. So I am not only excited that you're here, but I got to say that I think our guest today is going to be fantastic. And the topic is one that all of us can relate to on some level or another. So I'm pretty revved up for today.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I was selfishly thinking I'm excited to have you as my co-host because, you know, I'm always trying to talk you into being part of our sleep team. And I think our discussion today might I think today's discussion might pull you over that line and have you join the team.
All right. We'll see.
We are.
I might be your worst nightmare. You never know.
Come on. We are joined by our colleague, Dr. Chantel Fernandez-Lopez. Hello, Dr. Fernandez-Lopez. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're so excited to have you here. Welcome to the podcast. Could we have you start by introducing yourself to our listeners and telling us how you got here?
Yes, sure. So I am a clinical psychologist, and I recently joined the Center for Deployment Psychology as a part of the DoD Child Collaboration Study, or we call it DoD Kids, you know, for short. So I've actually just recently joined the team, and, you know, a big part of my role and what I do there, I'm involved in a study that, you know, we're taking a look and identifying and enhancing evidence-based treatments for youth. And we're doing this by taking a look at ways of, you know, delivery, like through telehealth, teleeducation. And so
feels like we've known you longer in a lot of ways.
It's been great to get to know all of you.
Yeah. And part of the reason that we're excited to have you on this podcast is not just because you have expert in working with kids, but specifically you have a lot of experience in working with sleep issues in children. And so today we're going to be talking with you about specifically about exposure relaxation and rescripting therapy for youth, which I'm really excited to hear about because I've done it a little bit with adults and it's just such a passion of mine, but I've never thought about doing it with kids before. So I'm really excited about talking. How about you, Jenna? Are you excited to learn about this?
I am. I'm very excited to learn about this. And I'm, you know, I guess one thing we can jump right in with is this season, our theme is what is your why? So we've asked folks, you know, the field of psychology is very broad. The experiences that we have kind of tend to get us to a certain place. And sometimes you know, intended to start out there from the beginning. Corinne and I have very winding paths. So we would love to hear what made you interested in, you know, peds and sleep and, you know, maybe specifically ERRT? How did you get to the sort of place and the expertise where you are now?
Okay. Yeah. I can go ahead and answer that. You know, I've always been interested in working with children and, you know, just from when I was much younger, you know, I was, you know, it's one of those kids that I remember like volunteering in kindergarten classes and reading to my friends and just doing all of these different kinds of things just from a young age. And when I had the opportunity when I was in my undergraduate program, I was at the University of Hawaii, Manoa, and I worked in a cognitive behavioral clinic and just learned a lot there. And at that point in time, I still wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do with psychology. But during my time there, it just really solidified that I wanted to work with kids and, you know, developmental types of, you know, developmental challenges, behavioral, emotional, and that my passion kind of started there, I would say. And later on, I went to graduate school. And at that point in time, I was thinking about continuing on with what I was doing and just doing more child, you know, anxiety and working with disruptive behaviors. And there was an opportunity. There was a new faculty member there. Her name is Joanne Davis, and she's actually the developer of exposure and relaxation or scripting therapy. And they were like, hey, you know, would you be interested in working with her? And I was like, well, I don't know much about PTSD or, you know, trauma in adults. And I wasn't really sure. And so after speaking with her, I talked to her about my interest in working with children. And she was like, you know what, you know, we can do some of that. We can do a little bit of both, right? And so really allowing me to continue in pursuing my education and you know, evidence-based treatments with children, and then just furthering my understanding of sleep problems in kids. And while there, you know, we were running the initial trials of taking a look at ERT and just from the very beginning, working on the manuals and delivering the treatment, that just continued. And till this day, you know, I just love the people that were part of my lab back then, and we're still friends and we're still doing work together. And it isn't too uncommon for us to contact each other, you know, at least once a month on something. So that's kind of
great.
You know, how we kind of got there or here, excuse me.
We just love hearing those stories, because I think for most of us, an opportunity sometimes presents itself, and it wasn't necessarily totally, I mean, it was obviously relevant to your interest in training, and then it kind of turned into a passion. It sounds like you're still very connected with that work. So that's fantastic.
Great. It's been great to kind of see how it's continuing, and, you know, just how, you know, so like I'm taking, like looking now at like the online trainings or, you know, RCTs for the child, you know, and it's been amazing to kind of see how all of that, you know, has progressed over time.
I love it. And what you may not know is that really tracks with what we talked about in our first episode of this season, which is that many of us got to where we were by saying yes to opportunities that we had no idea we were going to like.
Right.
And it's awesome that your opportunity just happened to be with Joanne Davis, who is, you know, a pioneer in this field. So that is a very great accidental yes. I love it. Maybe you can tell us a little bit, or tell our listeners a little bit about ERRT, because I think it's something that folks have heard about a little bit here and there, but don't really know what it is, what it entails, how it works. So could you give us a crash course on ERRT?
Yes. So ERRT, it stands for Exposure, Relaxation, and Rescripting Therapy. This is it's a cognitive behavioral treatment for post-trauma nightmares. And it's actually a treatment that developed quite a while ago. You know, actually, what's kind of interesting is when this treatment was developed by Dr. Davis, she had a patient, an adolescent patient that she was working with that completed treatment in for PTSD, but was still experiencing, you know, nightmares. And so at that time, you know, that's when things started to develop, and you know, ERT came about. And a big part of about with ERT is, you know, there's exposure to the nightmares, right? And a lot of that has to do through rescription. So and for rescription, you know, that's like that rewriting of the nightmares, you know, and into alternatives. And a big part that was used back then is rewriting it according to different themes that we're seeing in the nightmares to be able to really kind of change that kind of trajectory and to help to decrease the stress and nightmares. So that's kind of, you know, in a nutshell. So there's that theme-based description is really important. And then there's a big focus on teaching different types of coping strategies that can be utilized, as well as like sleep hygiene. So that real kind of encompassing components of treating, you know, sleep problems in general, as well as the trauma nightmares.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's some exposure to the nightmare itself or the themes of the nightmare that might be repetitive in nature, and then a re-scripting or a rewriting in some creative ways of the nightmare theme as well, plus coping strategies. So it's got a lot of components to it.
It does, yes.
About how many sessions does that take in your practice?
Yeah, so the initial ERT was, you know, a relatively short term, you know, it was like a 3-session. And so there's been some modifications for the youth treatment. We've expanded it further. So initially we're keeping it very close to the adult treatment, and then we moved it out to 4 sessions, and then now it's at 5 sessions. So it's still really very relatively short treatment, but highly effective, you know, in reducing nightmares.
I'm always fascinated when, you know, can we modify a treatment and kind of take it to a pediatric setting. So I have a couple of questions. One is, I was kind of wondering the frequency of this. You know, I think that trauma nightmares obviously are very, you know, happen very frequently for our adult population, especially the population Corinne and I are used to kind of working with and consulting mm-hmm. on. But I wasn't sure sort of the prevalence for kiddos. And then, you know, what did you have to modify? Like, what were some of the things where you took the adult protocol and you thought, how do we make this kind of really relevant for kids? I'm assuming there's parental involvement, as there are always usually are with kid treatments. So what did that look like?
Yeah, actually, you know, those are some of the big things. So what we did, we tried to, you know, stay as close to the original treatment as possible, but we did have to modify a lot of different things. And you nailed it on the head when you said, yep, definitely the first thing that we did is we considered ways to involve parents or caregivers, excuse me, you know, and making sure that they were a part of the treatment. And so there was that initial stages and still continuing where we're working to modify manuals. So not only do we have like a therapist manual, but a manual or workbook that can be used with the youth as well as the caregiver to help with that. You know, a lot of the language that we've used and the way things were described, you know, we moved it down to a younger developmental age, you know, sure. So that it could be used. And there's a lot of fun things also. So when we're going through and talking about nightmares and our coping skills, you know, we're using strategies that are like more active or sensory based in terms of teaching, you know, how to do something, let's say like progressive muscle relaxation or breathing, stimulus control. So right now there's further modifications happening to the manual. And a lot of that is with Dr. Cromer of University of Tulsa. So she's continuing to modify that. And they've done some really fun things where they're, you know, teaching, let's say, progressive muscle relaxation using like stress balls, you know, for, you know, squeezing lemons and, you know, relaxing the muscles in that way. But using that kind of, they're also doing like stimulus control where they've been using like pillowcases where a child is drawing on the pillowcase, you know, stars and moon or whatever, any of those things to kind of help with that association of sleep. So just a lot of fun things we've done, you know, body drawings to understand like where a person may hold, you know, pain in their body, you know, when feeling stressed. So a lot of those kinds of things.
It's so interesting to hear about those modifications. Like you really painted a vivid picture by trying to imagine kids squeezing lemons or drawing on their pillowcases to incorporate some of those behavioral strategies. That's really helpful. Are there other strategies like that people might be interested in hearing about or that they should know about?
Yeah. You know, so also like breathing, you know, so if you're teaching, you know, some of the ways that we've taught it before and that were as a part of the treatment. So there's belly breathing or any other way that we can teach the breathing, like candle breathing or, you know, however, just ways to make it fun and active. And that's what we've found to be, you know, the best way to go about doing things, even like when we're talking about sleep hygiene as well, and thinking about like, you know, what would be unique types of sleep challenges, you know, to youth versus like adults, because it may not. And we definitely have to think about it, bring in the parents, right? Because a lot of assistance is needed in modifying, you know, some of those not so good sleep habits that kids may have, and that can be helpful.
Do you have I mean, I think that's a perfect area. Do you have an example, like some examples of what tends to come up for youth that maybe is a little bit different, or we don't see for adults in terms of those sleep habits? And
well, I guess the one I was thinking about for one of the cases, we did a case review. And so one of the youth that was involved in that, I think about where she was actually hiding sweet tea in a McDonald's cup in the refrigerator. And, you know, so we couldn't figure it out, like why she was having such a hard time, you know? And so, but she finally told us, and like, well, mom explored and she found it. And so it was involving the parent and making sure that there weren't any hidden drinks that had, you know, any type of caffeine or anything really, you know, saying, okay, you know, it's this time of night. That means no more caffeine, and sweet tea has caffeine. So we can't, you know, you can't have that. So that was kind of a part of what I was thinking about, or sneaking, you know, eating, you know, maybe a large meal before bedtime and not considering, you know, like a certain snack as being something that was really heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to say the gender of the child, because it will give, you know, I have three children, so I'll keep the gender neutral. But we have had the experience of finding candy wrappers, you know, in a night table in the way back where there was like a little stash of that. So I can imagine those are the kind of kid behaviors that you might say. I mean, adults do it too, but having to kind of figure that out and work it out. Interesting.
Thank you for bringing that up, because a part of the reasoning of increasing sessions is what we learned in the beginning, is that there will be some challenges that come up. So from behavioral types of challenges, such as, let's say, sneaky behaviors, right? Like of hiding wrappers, or, you know, refusing to do what they've been told, or refusing to go to bed at their bedtime, that just needed a little bit more time to work with the parents to help to problem solve. And so that's, you know, some of the additions in that were included in there, is just kind of that troubleshooting sections or time to be able to work with parents on those other issues that we, you know, may not be able to predict initially, right? Because each person is unique, each child that comes in, and we have to work with the family on those unique challenges.
That's really
so definitely
helpful.
Related to sleep. Yeah.
That's really helpful to hear examples of some of the kind of sleep hygiene components that you include, the relaxation components that you include. And I'm curious if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about what goes into the actual nightmare rescripting. Like, what, I know you don't have time to talk about the entire protocol, but if you could just kind of summarize what goes into that and what that might look like, that would be really interesting to hear about.
Yes. And so that's another, I didn't mention that as well. Thank you for bringing these other things up. So also when we're doing the rescripting, as we mentioned, you know, that big part of rewriting, right? So we're doing, it's like that exposure to that nightmare. The main part is the youth is able to talk about their nightmare. They can either talk about it and tell the provider about what their nightmare is. They can do it through writing, or they could even do it through drawing, you know? And so just different ways of engaging in that exposure. And for ERT, you know, a big part of that treatment is, you know, we're exposing them to, or that we're talking about that nightmare that may be the most scary for them or the worst for them. And whichever one that is occurring the most, the one that's causing them the most distress. And so we're asking them to choose that one. And we first, this kind of comes in later in the treatment. So we really build up to that. So there's a lot more of that psychoeducation and coping skills that occur in early on. And it isn't until we get into more of that fourth session, you know, where we go into that rescripting. And so we're asking them to talk about the original. And meanwhile, we're looking and trying to take a look at those themes that I mentioned. And, you know, we're looking at these themes that are often used like in treatment for, you know, PTSD, that like looking at safety, powerlessness, trust, intimacy, or esteem, and seeing if we can identify, you know, if any of those themes are there in those nightmares, and assisting, you know, the youth and being able to identify and helping them. So, you know, really working with them to see if they see some kind of theme, and then working to modify their nightmare based on that. And so when they're making that modification, the modification is so that they're, let's say if they were, they felt like they were powerless, you know, that they gained, you know, their power back in some kind of way. Just to give you an example, so like one of the cases that we had, you know, that there was like a home invasion, and the youth that I was working with felt that, you know, she couldn't say anything, she couldn't do anything to protect herself or her family. And you know, there was you know, a gun in front of her, and she didn't do anything initially, and she kept on having nightmares about that situation over and over. And so when she rescripted, she decided to rewrite it so that when he tried to pull out a gun, instead he pulled out a Scooby snack, and he couldn't, you know, shoot with the Scooby snack, and everyone was laughing and was laughing at him, and he was so embarrassed that, you know, he ran and left the house. And so that was like her final rescription. And so we work with them as well to continue to rescript until, you know, because sometimes the rescription needs to occur just a little bit further. It might be too close to the original nightmare. And so we want them to rescript more, because if it's too close, we find that as well. But if they rescript it further, then there's an increase in, or reduction, excuse me, I think there's more of an increase. Decrease in nightmares. Yeah.
I imagine, I mean, it's so, such a fascinating intervention, but I imagine that youth might even be better at this than adults. I mean, that you're actually capitalizing on their creativity, their willingness to, you know, kind of not be as boxed in as we adults are by all these rules and regulations, and their imagination, you know, kind of like it's at the peak of imagination. So I love, and I think anytime we hear examples, we really value that on the podcast, because it brings these therapies to life. So thank you for sharing that example. That was really, really helpful. And I didn't have another question, Corinne. So if you have another one, you can jump in. I just wanted to comment that I was like so excited that youth could use their creativity in kind of gaining power back over what happened.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So, as I mentioned, I've done this before, but only with adults. And some adults, of course, are really creative and buy into this. But especially when working with service members or veterans, sometimes adults are a little less willing to engage in that creative thinking, and they're more rational, logical thinkers. And so I agree. I was thinking the same thing. It's so cool to be thinking about doing this with kids, because you have them at their prime of their creativity. And I imagine it's even more beneficial, or can be even more beneficial for them than adults.
Definitely. Yeah. I haven't seen as much of the, you know, I haven't thought about that before, but if I'm looking at working with adults and working with youth, they, you know, oftentimes were quite excited to get to this piece and to start working on it and wanting to share, and, you know, so yes.
Well, you've piqued my interest. Corinne, don't get too excited. No, don't get too excited.
You're coming to the team.
You've piqued my interest. And I certainly would love to learn more. And I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners would also love to learn more. And ERT, and I like that we can call it ERT, both ERT with adults, but also with youth. So I'm gonna take us into our actionable intel part of the episode, which is where we like to leave our listeners with what are some steps they could take to learn more about ERT, to become more familiar, you know, with either trainings that are available or a manual, or, you know, what would be a good way for them to kind of gain more experience and wet their toes a little bit more?
Yes, definitely. So I can give you some information about, there's the CBT Nightmare Web that actually folks can get trainings that are, you know, for adults. But right now for the youth treatment, we're continuing to work, and we're continuing to do some studies. Actually, there's a study at the University of Tulsa where they're doing, you know, like a RCT, and just we're really working on trying to, you know, learn more about this, the modifications that have been made, and continuing with that. And so we we are working to also get our manuals published so that can be used and purchased later on down the road. But until that point, Dr. Davis has her book, Treating Post-Trauma Nightmares, A Cognitive Behavioral Approach. And that's a really great one to learn from. And then, as I mentioned, there's the web-based provider training for cognitive behavior therapy for nightmares, CBT Nightmares Web. And Christy Prakrusma, she's been, you know, very busy with that. And there's another, she had another study going on right now where they're taking a look at web-based delivery of training versus like in-person for that. Just because there's such a big need, you know, and this one's for adults. And if I had to think about like books for like sleep problems and nightmares and others, I have some favorites. You know, I love Taking Charge of Your Child's Sleep, you know, for any parents, Owen and Mundell, A Clinical Guide to Pediatric Sleep Diagnosis and Management of Sleep Problems. So I would say those are kind of my top ones that I would say would be really helpful for, you know, either for adult and youth populations.
That's great. That absolutely is going to give our listeners a starting point to learn more while we anxiously wait for the manual to be published, which we will be reading as soon as it gets published. In the meantime, you've provided us other resources that we can get started on. So of course, as always, we will include those resources in our show notes so that listeners can access those and get started, because I think as Jen and I are both feeling, this sounds like a really exciting and fun treatment. If treatment for nightmares and trauma could be fun, this sounds like kind of a fun way to be able to help youth and to be able to deliver a really good treatment.
Definitely, and effective.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us, Chantal. We're so happy to have you here. Jenna, I'm so pleased that I know you're joining our sleep team now. We have gotten you over the hump.
My eyes are wide open. Wide awake and very excited to learn more, Corinne.
I walked right into that. I think this is where we need to end it.
You're
because
welcome.
My eyes can't roll back any further at this point. Thank you.
My
both.
Work here is done.
So much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We'll talk to you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Practical for Your Practice.
Please feel free to subscribe, like, and share.
Until next time.